Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Once in a while on this show, we do an interview that's a little bit outside the box. Like, I'm sure if you asked our next guest, did she ever expect to be on a sports radio show, that Pat Daniels is going to say, no, not on that one. But here comes Pat Daniels, the leader and the head of Constructing Hope, an organization that helps people who are incarcerated get back to work and get back to life after they are released. And Pat Daniels is joining us. Did you ever imagine you'd be on a sports radio show, Pat?
No, I didn't. But I'm excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Can you let's let people know about your organization first of all. Constructing Hope. Why does this organization exist and what does it do?
Okay. Constructing Hope is a nonprofit, and we are a pre-apprenticeship training program that targets formerly incarcerated, and all of our participants are 100% low income. The program was brought into place because we had gentrification happening, and probably it started in the 90s, so we had a lot of people who were unemployed in this one area, found out that all these gentlemen had felonies, and they couldn't find work any place. So when we interviewed everybody and start looking to say how could we change that, we found out that construction was the one area that did not mind if you had a background. It's, are you willing to work and can you do the work? So we started a ready-to-work program that turned into a state-certified pre-apprenticeship training program. And now we've been around for 15 years as Constructing Hope. We offer four classes a year.
Pat, it's... Nobody wants to see people without work. And I have to think that people who have been incarcerated who come out and find employment are probably more equipped to lead more productive lives. Do you have any kind of, does that ring true to you that, like, if we can get people who have been incarcerated and rehabilitated to work after their release, how does that help them?
It helps them tremendously. You know, when I look at the homeless population, I say a lot of it is because of people who were formerly incarcerated with any kind of felony. Let's go back to before we banned the box. There was a box on your every job application that you apply for, and it says, do you have a felony? If you check that box when I was trained on how to bring people on, that check box always went to the no pile. So that means no one ever even looked at their applications. But I do remember talking to some family members who had been formerly incarcerated and saying, why don't you get your life together? Now that I'm in this position, I see that they never had a chance to get their lives together. Without employment, you have nothing. So giving someone just a second chance, I often think about if your kids are bad, you don't punish them for the rest of their lives. They need that opportunity to change.
Pat Daniels is with us, executive director of the organization called Constructing Hope. Stay with me here. I'm going to tell you why it has to do with sports. But Pat, it's interesting because I think we all believe in second chances, in redemption. We see it in sports all the time. We were talking about it yesterday with Tiger Woods, you know, that a lot of people are rooting for Tiger who didn't like Tiger a few years ago. There's something about us as human beings where we want people to succeed. We want second chances. We want people who have done, maybe made mistakes or done terrible things, to come back and say, look, I want to live as a productive person the rest of my life. I want to help people. I don't want to be incarcerated again. So this organization that you have put together, you know, that you lead, Constructing Hope, is important. I think it's super important. That there's still a stigma out there, though, with people who have felony convictions. What would you tell the rest of us who, even though it's not on the box, when you hear that, like, you're right, there is sort of an apprehension that people have.
Right. And the apprehension is, you know, television tells us that these are bad people. And you know, it's amazing how television can influence what we think. And I'm going to tell you, that's where a lot of my emotions came from, was to be afraid of someone who was formerly incarcerated. They're a bad person. When you really talk to people, they're people just like we are, and they made a mistake. So they deserve a second chance. But one thing I can tell you that that is exciting about meeting with you today, and you talked about sports, is the relationship that we have with Nike right now.
Today I'm thrilled
to share with everybody that Constructing Hope was among 8 nonprofits in the Portland area to receive a grant as part of the Nike Black Community Commitment to make a difference in the lives of Black people in the community. And today it was announced that Constructing Hope received a $250 million grant from Nike. And this is to help us with organizational stability, to build capacity, to build program capacity, because as we talked about, we are a pre-apprenticeship training program. So that means that we're training people to get into construction trades. And what I have to say is that most of the people who come into these trades, you have to be physically fit. And a lot of these guys, especially when I think of iron workers, these guys they're in extreme sports. In order to even be in this trade, you have to be physically fit. So they're working out on a regular. So I would say that's the one thing that construction has in common with sports.
I think it's fantastic that Nike is supporting you. What does that kind of support mean to your organization?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go back to the very beginning and say when we first started and we were saying that we were targeting formerly incarcerated, everybody asked us to change the name, you know, to say something different. And what this means for us is the community is now looking at social justice issues and understanding that people can change given the opportunity. So we are thrilled that Nike is supporting us in a manner that we can build capacity within our program. In our program, we provide support services because in order for people to really get started, when you come out of prison, you have nothing. We support our graduates for at least the first 3 years in their construction trades. So that's what this provides for us, is funds to have a paid fellowship program for at least 10 people. It takes 10 weeks to go through our program. We are a program that you just have to have 10 weeks to go through it to get to enter the trades. So it's not paid time. So Nike is putting together a paid fellowship program that's going to allow us to have 10 participants paid for the 10 weeks that they're going through our training. And that's just huge.
Pat Daniels is with us. She runs Constructing Hope, a great organization that helps formerly incarcerated individuals sort of get back on the right path after their release. We talk a lot, and people in the criminal justice system talk a lot about recidivism and repeat offenses. Do you have data that supports, like, the work that you're doing and how important it is to keeping people on the right side of the law?
Yeah. I can say that our recidivism rate for people going back to prison once they complete the program is very low. When I look at over the past few years, I would say that our recidivism rate is probably within 3-5%, which is really low. And I'm saying that, too, because once someone is in the criminal justice system, and especially my men of color, one stop can get you back in jail, and that's considered you recidivated just by going to jail that one time, whether you did something or not. So we have a lot of life skills in our training. So I'm going to say that a lot of the times when people are in construction trades, it's like going back to college. You have to be at work at 6:30 in the morning. It's a drug-free life. So usually our guys are not recidivating. One, because they're making enough money to enjoy life in another way that they don't have to go back to a life of crime.
Pat Daniels with us, the organization called Constructing Hope. You know, you could have done a lot of things, Pat. Why Constructing Hope?
You know, I'm going to honestly say there was a point in my life where I prayed for purpose. I was going through some things, and I didn't want to be here anymore. And as I was praying for purpose in my own pity party, a friend asked me to come to this Irvington Covenant Church and help with the project. I saw people who really had needs, and my whatever I was going through was nothing compared to what these people had been through. So when I came to work at this program, it just gave me a new outlook on life, and it just took over just wanting to do something and help somebody who had less than I did. I felt like, too, when we think about growing up, I know how my household was. I had a mom that was there. We ate dinner at the table, didn't watch TV, you know. So it was lifestyles. Their lifestyle was so different than mine that even as a black woman, I didn't know that I was privileged to have that lifestyle.
I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I think the support of Nike is fantastic. And, you know, I urge people out there to check out Constructing Hope. We've talked about, and I've talked about on today's show, how important resilience is to people. Can you maybe think about that for us for a second? And, you know, the resilience that you see in people that are incarcerated, that are coming out, you know, you talked about checking the box. I think, you know, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, relate to or, you know, can sort of empathize with the challenge that somebody who's been incarcerated has in trying to just get a fair shake. But resilience is important, and I think that's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the key. When you look at being in construction, it takes a resilient person to do that kind of work. It's that person, too, that also need instant reward. You know, when you look at building, it's a lot of hard work. You're sweating. You're moving this heavy material. You work hard all day. But at the end of the day, the paycheck, the reward of seeing what you just did. Yeah, it's a lot of resilience in that because, really, no one ever gives you that extra chance. Most people follow what we've seen on TV, and we want to step back rather than step closer.
Pat Daniels, you're doing good work. I applaud you. I'm glad that Nike sees it and they're buying in. We wish you the best and keep doing your thing. I mean, you're helping people, and that's a good thing.
Thank you, and I have an awesome team. I think that's the other thing. My team is awesome, and they do a good job keeping in touch with the graduates to make sure that they're successful. We believe in our three-year commitment.
I love it. Pat Daniels, thank you. There's Pat Daniels doing good things, CEO of Constructing Hope, Nike buying in with a big investment in that. Look, it's not all sports on this show, but I think it gives us all a chance to step back. We were talking on yesterday's program about Tiger. We were talking about how we all love a comeback story. We love it in sports, right? But I do think that there is a stigma around people who have been incarcerated, if we're all being real. There is a stigma. And, you know, have you ever filled out a job application that had that box on it? Have you been convicted of a felony? Like, we've seen that. I've gone past that going, oh, thank goodness, I don't need to check that box. Like, my resume would never get looked at. Like, what, we've all been there. I am a big believer in rehabilitation. I am a huge believer in you know, the ability for an individual to create or foster their own comeback story. Her organization, Constructing Hope, is doing good things. Nike recognized it. Good on them. It's one of those little things where, like a sports entity in our state, looking across and going, you know, this really doesn't have to do directly with sports. It has to do with people. And Nike seeing that value, I think, is important. And I want to applaud Nike for doing that. And I think, you know, Pat and her team at Constructing Hope are doing good things out there in the world. But, you know, it's not just Tiger Woods that needs a good comeback story. It's the felon coming out of prison that needs to have a comeback story as well. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Show is sailing along as it always does. Make sure you get a podcast and subscribe to it. The Bald Faced Truth podcast is available wherever you get a podcast. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You can find us. Do what a million people will do this year. Download an episode of the podcast. And by the way, if you subscribe to the podcast on your iPhone, it will populate the podcast episodes for you. And, you know, if you happen to be stuck somewhere and you want to catch up on an interview or listen to part of the show, bam, it's there. It's on demand. Or you heard something. Oh, that was a great interview earlier with Aaliyah Goodman. Let me send that to my friend who would be interested in that. Bang. That's how you do it. All right. Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report right here. Meet me at the
water cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
The OSAA, the governing body of high school sports, with an unpopular stance, they're talking about no spectators at high school sporting events. Football may be played. Basketball may be played. I don't get it. Outdoor sporting events? Could you not have parents there to see kids? Like, half the battle in high school sports is watching your kid play. I want to kick this around with Zach and Judah. What do you make of this?
That is super unfortunate. Remember we were talking about the College Bowl games and Brian Kelly made that huge stink about, we're not playing the Rose Bowl in L.A. if the parents of my kids can't go and watch? And we parsed that a little bit. You know, you broke it down, I think, pretty accurately. He was playing a bigger game there. But the point still stands. Like, parents of their college kids want to go see their kids play in person. Times that by 500 for the high school level. That's what parents do. They go and see little Johnny, little Susie play. Like, it matters so much to them. We went through all this work to get a high school football season, and you're saying parents can't go? Oh, that is brutal. That is so harsh. The only other thought I have is maybe they just say it's a resources issue. Like, the schools don't have enough people or personnel to enforce the distancing. But man, if there is any way to ensure human attendance at these games, you gotta find a way to do it. God knows the kids and the coaches are working their butts off to make it happen. Can you meet them halfway?
I'm just wondering, look, we can all go outside. We're allowed to go outside. I think it's ridiculous. I think if you're outdoors and you're spaced apart, especially in a high school setting, we're not talking about the pep squad of the school being at the football game. We're talking about parents. I was just reading some of the guidelines, and there was an email that went out in the Klamath County School District that talked about the good news and bad news. I just want to share this with people. And Zach, I want your take on this too. It says, we have good news. This week kicked off 6 weeks of competition for cross-country soccer, volleyball, and football. We're excited for our athletes and their families, especially our seniors who will get a chance to compete during their last year of high school. However, the ability for our athletes to compete comes with restrictions and challenges to keep our community safe. They're burying the lead here. Due to Oregon Health Authority guidelines, there will be no spectators allowed at Klamath County School District sporting events at this time. This applies to home games and away games. Only participants, coaches, and officials will be allowed on campus for events. They're working on live streaming the events. I'm slapping my forehead because I think we're going to look back at this a decade from now, 20 years from now, and we're going to go, gosh, we blew this. We didn't know what we were doing. This is outdoor sporting events we're talking about where people could be spaced out. We're not talking about tightly packed together in the stands. We're talking about space yourselves out and be responsible humans, and let's let people be people. And yet, I'm wondering, are the individual schools going to be in charge of policing the spectators who break the rules? Like, what's going to happen here? Are you going to have, like, the science teacher has to patrol the stands and the surrounding area to make sure no parents are watching through the fence or whatever? It's stupid. Zach, go ahead.
Yeah, it's silly, John. I'm like lost for words at this information, at this news right now, because when you talk about parents and you think about how much they've sacrificed this year and how much they've done for their kids and how hard we've worked to just get to this point right now, to just allow the kids to play some ball, to just play the sports they love. A lot of these seniors, it's their last chance to get out there on the field, on the court, do their thing. It's ridiculous, John. I don't even know where to begin, but these parents deserve so much better than this. And to say that, you know, being outside, outdoors, watching a sporting event, like, that's more of a threat to people's health and public safety than, you know, a restaurant or a grocery store. To say it's any different, it's unbelievable, John. It upsets me. It really does upset me.
Yeah, you got movie theaters that are returning to open on Friday this week.
That's big for you.
Not in my area. My movie theater's not open, unfortunately, but I already checked. Yeah. But I also think, like, you're safe in a movie, but you're not safe at a high school football game? I was talking yesterday with a physician. Okay, he's a friend of mine, and I was asking him, like, how is history going to judge this? when we look back on the pandemic, how will history judge it? And he says, I think we made a lot of mistakes as a country. And I think, without question, we've made mistakes and lives have been lost. But what we have learned about the virus and what we know about the virus and wearing a mask and, you know, distancing and being outdoors is that the transmission rates for outdoor events, not high transmission. And yet we've had parks and recreation, schools, whatever. They've taken playgrounds and they said, no, you can't, kids can't play on a playground. Okay. How about a tennis court? Can you play tennis at a distance? Nope. Tennis court's roped off. Like, I think we're going to look back and go, okay, that was wrong. This was right. That was wrong. Hindsight's 20/20. But this one to me feels dumb. Like, if there's a cross-country event and spectators could reasonably be spaced out along the course or near the finish line, it's 10 feet apart. I don't care what rule you make. Like, in the stadium, we're going to have fans inside stadiums in different parts of the country. You had fans at the Super Bowl. But you can't have fans at, like, your local high school. By the way, parents, even if you limited it to only people who are related to players may come to the game, I'm good with that. Because we're not talking about 8,000 people. We're talking about a few hundred people at most that would be scattered around the stadium area. I think it's ridiculous. And, Judah, do you think people will follow the rules?
No. No, they will not.
And who's going to enforce it?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.